Okay, sure. All right, so you have this page. This is a section. This is an outline that you can refer to as we go. It just breaks up the capital a little bit in sections. We are on capital Chof Zion 27 tonight. And it's just here. Right, now this capital may be well known to many of us because the minhag is to say this capital after davening from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Sukkot. We say this from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Sukkot. And it's basically a request by David HaMelech to achieve a dveikus to Hashem. To achieve a closeness to Hashem. It has the famous pasuk about David HaMelech wanting to be shifty beveis Hashem. Perhaps one of the most famous pasukim in Tehillim. And in fact, Chazal say that David HaMelech used to say this capital before the army would go out to war, in order to give chizuk to himself and to the army. Alright, Kapitel Chof Zion is a kapitel that we say from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Sukkot after davening, and it is a request from David HaMelech to achieve closeness and dveikus to Hashem. And this kapitel was written with the intent by David HaMelech of saying it both for him and on behalf of the soldiers before they would go out to war. So it was a request for a closeness to Hashem, and for victory and success, both in material things and in Ruchnis things. Not clear exactly when David HaMelech wrote this kapitel, and there's a little outline over here. The first few pasukim, David HaMelech describes his trust in Hashem, then he expresses his request of Hashem, and then elaborates on his request. And we're going to see that there are a lot of very, very, very famous pasukim and very, very famous yisaidis in this particular kapitel. So let's start with Pasuk Aleph, and let's jump right in. Pasuk Aleph, David HaMelech writes, L'David, this is a kapitel by David, Hashem Ori V'yishi, Hashem is my light and my salvation, Mimi Ira. So whom should I fear? Hashem Ma'oiz Chayai, Hashem is the strength of my life, Mimi Echad, who should I dread? So Hashem is my light, meaning that light is, of course, the opposite of darkness. And when a person is in distress or depressed or feeling like they're having difficulties, David HaMelech, and often enough, you see that referred to as a dark feeling. So the opposite of that darkness is the fact that Hashem is light. But the Medrash brings something even a little more interesting. The Medrash says that Ori V'yishi refers to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and the way we relate to Hashem. Ori is light. And on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem illuminates us and shows us the light of His mercy and His rachmanis. And once a person and their neshama have seen what Hashem can do for them, they are inspired to do teshuvah to become closer to Hashem. So once they see the Ari, the light of Hashem, then they are inspired to go further and to receive V'yishi, the salvation from Hashem. So it's sort of like a cycle of teshuva. The Medrash says that Ori brings a person to the light of Hashem, so to speak, which brings a person to do teshuva, to become closer to Hashem, which brings us to Yishi, that Hashem is then my salvation. The Medrash compares that to the cycle of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Now it says, who should I fear? And David HaMelech, who should I fear? David HaMelech had battles galore throughout his life. I think the question might be better for him. Who should I not fear? Which son, king? Yes, Missouri.
No. Okay.
Oh, his question.
So he's asking it for everybody, or who should he fear? Is it Hashem or the people who are after them?
Yeah, so who should he fear? Since Hashem is his light and his salvation, who could he possibly fear?
Right.
There's nobody he could fear because Hashem is his light and his salvation. But when he says that, who should I fear? I mean, the list is long and varied.
Right.
Who should he fear as many people? But Ori and Yishi, David HaMelech saying, two things put together leave no room to fear. Because David HaMelech says, those that come by day, Hashem will save me. And those that come by night, Hashem will be my light. Now, it means much more than that sort of simplistic explanation, and that is that there are different kinds of enemies that a person can fear. The ones that are by day are the enemies that are in clear sight. It's quite clear that when there's an army over there of 500 people, and you have your 200 people over here, and the army over there says, we're going to come and get you. Pretty clear who you should fear. That's fear by the light of day. So in that case, Hashem is Yishi, Hashem is the salvation. But there's other kinds of things to fear as well, things that are more in the nighttime, things that are more in the dark, right? Things that can't be seen so easily. David HaMelech says Hashem is the Or for that. Hashem illuminates that even those things that seem like they should be feared because they're dark, they're in the night, they're scary, Hashem illuminates all that. And as long as one has Betachan and Hashem, it doesn't matter whether the enemy is clear or the enemy is hidden. It's all the same thing. Because if I have Ori of Yishi, by Hashem illuminating everything and being my salvation, then Mimi Ira, there's nobody left to fear. There's no open things left to fear, and there's no hidden things left to fear. Now, the Medrash also says that David wrote this pasuk. There's a separate Medrash, I mean, that says, Mimi Ira, whom should I fear? Before the Maisa with Bathsheba. That after the Maisa with Bathsheba, David couldn't bring himself to say, Mimi Ira, who could I fear? Because he was afraid that his punishment will come through someone else. Right? He had to fear Avshalom, his own son, rebelling against him, which we discussed was part of the punishment for Bathsheba. So after the Maisa with Bathsheba, David again never again said, Mimi Ira, who should I fear? Because he felt that someone, there might be someone that he should fear, because Hashem will be using that person in order to punish David for his actions with Bathsheba. So before Bathsheba, David had 100% confidence that that there was nothing to fear. After the Maisa with Bathsheba, he didn't quite have that same confidence that there was nothing to fear. Because he felt that Hashem might be using Avshalom in order to punish him. So David HaMelech goes on and he mentions, Bikroiv alai, when they would approach against Miriam, the evil people, Lecholus v'sarai, to devour my flesh, Sarai v'oivai, my enemies and my foes, li against me, Hemechashlu v'nafalu, it is they who will stumble and fall. So the Medrash says, this is talking about the episode with Gullius, that David HaMelech, the episode with Gullius is one of the episodes that to use the vernacular, sort of put David HaMelech on the map in terms of his standing in Klal Yisrael. And he says, when they would approach against me and they wanted to devour me, right, but it's they who will stumble and fall. We all know how Goliath fell. And while David HaMelech was just saying this in general, the Medrash says it's an allusion, if you will, to the episode with Goliath. And he continues, says, Im tachan alai, even if they would encamp against me, machan an entire army, Lo yira libi, I would not fear even an entire army against just me. Im takum alai, and if would rise against me, milchama, a war, bezais anivoteach, in this I would trust. In this I would trust. The zos, in this, is referring to the first pasuk. In the oiri, in the yishi, in the light, and in the salvation of Hashem, bezais, in this, I would still trust. In other words, it's not just a simple trust of it. I'm saying, even if an entire army were to come against me, and an entire war were to be waged against me, and it was me against everybody, I would still trust that Hashem would illuminate things, and Hashem would save me. Now, this is an amazing example of betachon, that David HaMelech is got 100% confidence, 100% betachon in Hashem, that no matter what comes against him, Hashem will save him. Is that betachon? Betachon is often, people think, you know, I'm davening that I'm going to be successful in my business. I have betachon. That's not betachon. No. That's wishful thinking. Right? Betachon is, I have trust in Hashem that whatever Hashem does for me is the best. So it could be Hashem wants, Rahman al-Islam, my business to fail and me to live in the street. Because it could be that that's what's going to be best for me. That's betachon. Betachon is not that I hope, I'm confident Hashem will do what I want. Betachon is Hashem will do what he wants, and I'm confident that that's the right thing. So how can David HaMelech be so confident that Hashem will do what he wants? Maybe, what do you mean you'll be confident that Hashem will save you? Maybe what Hashem wants is that army to overrun you, teach you a lesson. How can he be so confident of that when it's not really what we call betachan? Real betachan involves trusting Hashem to do what Hashem wants. So Chazal tell us that if a person has such a tremendous level of betachan in Hashem, that it's almost a perfect betachan, one of the things that he can earn with the schus of that betachan is that Hashem will make his wishes coincide with the person's wishes. So that if a person has enough betachan, that David HaMelech has such betachan that he'll be saved, that because of that betachan, if you hear what I'm saying, because of that betachan, the reward for that betachan will be Hashem will make that wish come true.
Maybe Hashem makes it so that he wishes for the things he's supposed to wish for.
As a reward, you mean, or in general? That he's so in tune with what Hashem wants.
The way it works is that
a person of that level of betachan, the way it works is that his wishes go to Hashem. That's interesting. Chazal brought it Chazal brought it the other way, that the reward you could get for such betachan is that Hashem will make his wishes coincide with yours, but you might be able to get at it from a different angle as well.
There's an idea.
That's true. She said there's an idea of vital nefesh, of being mevatel one's own desires and wants to what Hashem wants. And I don't think David is not being mevatel his own desires here, but all of his desires are l'shem shemayim. In other words, he doesn't want things just for himself. So it could be that there's some vital nefesh in there. That's, you know, that's something we should probably explore, but I thought it was an interesting thing that Chazal bring, that is his reward. And David HaMelech's reward for having such betachan is that Hashem will make his wish, I don't want to say come true, that sounds like, you know, yes.
Yeah, but the result is nothing to do with David HaMelech. It's nothing to do with Hashem. But he decides whether or not it's going to happen. He can only do his hashtablos, and then Hashem decides whether it should happen or not.
True. In a person of lesser betachan than David HaMelech, to request the outcome is inappropriate. It's not betachan. Now, the way people work is they usually daven for what they want. Very few people are on a madrega that they just daven that Hashem will do whatever Hashem will do. We should all be on such a madrega. You know what, I can only speak for myself. Perhaps everyone else here is, but I tend to daven for those things that I want. When I go to an important business deal, I don't daven that however Hashem wants this, it'll come out. I daven that the end will be a big contract with a nice fat check. And that then I'll be able to come home and show my wife the nice fat check, and then who knows what. Yes, but that's a hard thing. In certain circumstances, you know, sure. Sure. But people, you know what, let's see the next pasuk, because the next pasuk, consider that, because David HaMelech says, Acha sha'alti, one thing that I ask, me'eis Hashem, from Hashem, Aisa avakesh, that I will seek, shifti beveis Hashem kol yemei chayai, that I would dwell in the house of Hashem all my life, lachzos benoam Hashem, to behold the light of Hashem, levacha beheichalo, and to, it says here, and to contemplate, we'll come back to meditate in his heichal, we'll come back to what avakir means. But David HaMelech says, Acha sha'alti, one thing I asked of Hashem. Most people, what they ask of Hashem changes all the time. That's where you were this week. Right, today I want one thing, today I want something else. Every time it's a flux. People are always changing what they're davening for. And we have all these different areas in Shimon Esrei to ask for things, and every day it's a different thing. But what David HaMelech is saying is that he's reached the madrega where he's not like that. Achas sha'alti me'eis Hashem. I only ask one thing of Hashem. I always ask the same thing, period. So he's saying, that's a madrega, that achas sha'alti. So it sounds like if it is here in the pasuk, you know, here's one thing that I'm asking. But he's not saying, here's one thing that I'm asking. He's saying, here is the one thing that I'm asking. So most people, when they daven for whatever happens to be their, they feel, fine, every day they may also daven for certain general things. Right? But there's no question that what people daven for in their bakashas of Hashem tend to change. You know, when you're younger, you ask for children, and when you're older, you ask that the children behave, and when you're older still, you ask that the children, you know, do good in yeshiva, and you're older, your detailed bakashas tend to change over time, right? Depending on your situation. You may always daven, yes, I don't want to have a dvekus to Hashem, but you still, what a person is looking for in life tends to change a lot, and the way that you daven tends to change a lot. Daven also is not me. I just ask for one thing from Hashem. Now, what is that one thing? And he's in constant desire. What is that one thing that he wants? This is what he will seek. Shifti beveis Hashem kol yemei chayai. That I want to dwell in the house of Hashem all of my life. What does that mean? The simple meaning would seem to be the beveis Hashem. What is it David HaMelech longed for his entire life? That he wants to be in the Beis HaMikdash. The Medrash also says, you know what, he wants to be Shavti. Shavti means dwell, and also Yeshiva is to sit. Who can sit in the Beis HaMikdash? Only a Melech Beis David. And it's actually a request, says the Medrash, from David asking for Malchus. Asking that he should gain, that he should keep his Malchus. Now, there's two strange things about that. The first is, he's already the king. So to ask for Malchus doesn't really need that. He's already been anointed as the permanent king. And the second thing is that seems, you know, David HaMelech, to ask, that seems like a very materialistic sort of thing to ask for, to be the king. It doesn't seem unfitting. We just said, the only thing he ever wants, his great betachon as a shaman, is he'd like to be the king. Right. So, he's already the king. What he really wants to be is the king, is to be the king and to be Zaycha and to have the merit of having the Shechina dwell with him in Malchus. Because if you remember a few kapitalach ago, he wrote about Esther Hamalka. And it says by Esther Hamalka, V'talbush Esther b'Malchus. She was clothed in royalty. Meaning that she actually was at one with the Shechina for a brief period of time. Says David, that's the kind of royalty I want. I want to be a king worthy enough that the Shechina will encompass me and clothe me like it's going to clothe Esther Amalka. He also says the Med, now there's we could spend nothing but the next 6 weeks on Medreshim on this particular pasuk. But another key Medrash says, you know why he's asking for royalty? He's asking for royalties that people will come to him as the king. Not because of any personal desire, but when people come to him as the king, it gives him a chance to spread Torah and to spread the idea of being close to Hashem. So that he wants people to come to him, and if he's the king, people have to come to him. So Shavti Beveis Hashem Kol Yemei Chayai is something that it's on everybody's tongue, and the simple meaning is that he wants to dwell in the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Makom Shechina. And he wants to dwell there kol yemei chayai, all the days of his life, without any problems, worries. You know, being the king is a million details. A million things to be taken care of. He doesn't want to have all of it. He just wants to sit Shavti Beveis Hashem, kol yemei chayai. But at a deeper level, he wants this royalty, either so that he can reach to the Shechina, or that he can bring other people closer to the Shechina. And then he says that levaker beheichalo, and he wants to be able to be mevaker, to meditate in the sanctuary. So most beforeshim say the simple meaning is levaker is to meditate or to dwell, and that he wants to be freed from all of these day-to-day things, that he can sit in the Beis HaMikdash, and he can learn, and he can dwell upon Hashem. But levaker also means a little bit more than that, because some beforeshim that say levaker is from boker, in the morning. And that he wants every morning, hechal, he wants every morning to be able to go in the Beis HaMikdash. every morning to be able to go and sit in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash should be built now. It doesn't mean that he wants to just sit and contemplate Hashem. It means that he wants to do it every morning in the Beis HaMikdash. A Levakir also can mean to visit, like Bikur Chayim. Right, so it could also be that he wants to be able to visit Hechalo. What does that mean? Visit in the sanctuary. What it means is that David HaMelech wants, David HaMelech is David HaMelech everywhere. When he goes to the Shuk, and he goes to the market, and he goes to Beis Din, and he has a court function, he's still David HaMelech, and he has to do this on a day-to-day level, being out in the marketplace, so to speak. There's a famous story about the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon used to have the Magid come to him every year, once a year, to give him Musar. Now imagine being the person whose job it is to give Musar to the Vilna Gaon. What do you tell him? Right? I mean, you know, the list of Averis of the Vilna Gaon is a pretty short list. So the Magid one year, the story is, they didn't know what to tell him. What do you tell the Vilna Gaon? How do you tell give Musar to the Vilna Gaon? Says, no, I'm like everybody else. I do Averis. Come give me Musar. So he came and he thought about it. And he said, you know, Rebbe, you're the Vilna Gaon, and you're the greatest. But you know why you're the Vilna Gaon? Because you sit here and you learn all day. Right? And don't forget that you couldn't be the Vilna Gaon if you had to go out in the fish market and earn a living every day. But the reason you can be the Vilna Gaon is you can sit here and you can learn all day, and you don't have to deal with the troubles and the day-to-day things that people have to deal with. And I think the Vilna Gaon cried when he heard this musa. So David HaMelech is saying is, I have to go out every day and maintain my betachen in a tumultuous world with wars and with every kind of affair of state you can imagine. And I'd like Levakir Bechalo once in a while just to be able to come and visit in a nice place of tranquility, the Beis HaMikdash, so that I could regroup and re-energize myself. It doesn't have to be every day. This is very beautiful. I'm forced to say that. But the fact that he's David HaMelech out in the marketplace, every once in a while I'd like to come with Levakir Bechalo just to visit in the Beis HaMikdash so that he can re-energize himself and rebuild that connection. What? Mm-hmm. It exists. He wants his own Yarte Kal in the Beis Mikdash. He eats Beneini Besukai, and he'll hide me in his shelter, B'yoyim Ra, on the day of evil. Yes, B'day of evil. Yes, Direini B'seir Olo, he'll conceal me in the concealment of his tent, but Suyir Omeni, and upon a rock he will lift me. So he'll treasure saving him. He'll hide me in his shelter on the day of evil, and he'll conceal me and save me. David HaMelech is here saying that not just me do I want Hashem to save, and Hashem to save, but my descendants and family as well. And we know that later in Nach, Atalia will kill out everybody from the family of David HaMelech except for one person. The only person that'll be left is Yoash ben Ahaziah, and he'll be the one person left to continue the line of David HaMelech. That Atalia will wipe out the entire rest of the family. So David HaMelech in this pasuk is extending the fact that he wants Hashem not just to save him, but his family and his descendants as well. And on that day, meaning on the day when they come to wipe out my family, Hashem will conceal me in his tent, and he'll lift me upon a rock. That he will save something always of the family of David HaMelech. It says, Ve'ata, now, Yarum Reish al Oivai, my head is elevated above my enemies, Savavaisai around me, Vezbecha Bol Aziv Chesurah, and I will slaughter in his tent offerings accompanied by song, Ashira Ve'ezamru LaHashem, I will sing and chant praises to Hashem. Now, when David says Ve'ata, and now, it doesn't mean literally the second. Ata means now, with a capital N, when the Beis HaMikdash is built. Ve'ata, when you give me this Hashem, when I build the Beis HaMikdash, Yarum Roisha Avi, some of it, all my enemies will see that the word of Hashem is glorious, and that Hashem appoints someone as royalty, and it will be a tremendous kiddush Hashem. The Ezbecha Bol Aziv Chesrua, and I'll rejoice exuberantly, and I'll sing, and I will chant praises to Hashem. So it's not clear whether or not this exuberant Karbanos, it really means he's going to be singing and there's going to be trumpets. I'm not sure exactly what Seder David HaMelech had in mind. But the point is that when Atah comes, when now comes, and he gets his wish for the Beis HaMikdash, two things will happen. His enemies will see what happened, and it'll be a big Kiddush Hashem, and there'll be joyful celebration to Hashem, the likes of which are rarely seen. And it says, Shema Hashem Kali, hear my voice, Ekra when I call, V'chaneni V'neni, and show me favor and answer. Shema. I don't want to think about this much, but there's a famous vort that Shema, Shachris Mincha Arvis. But Shema is the three davenings a day. So when I call out, Hashem, hear me, show me favor and answer me. Now, David HaMelech has been saying up until now, Hashem's giving me all this. Now he's sort of asking. He's sort of, in other words, let's back up a little bit. He's been saying, Hashem, this is the only thing I ask. Hashem's giving me everything. Now he says, you know what, Hashem? When I call, do me a favor and listen. Almost like a little bit less of a request, a little bit less confident than his earlier psukim. His earlier psukim, who was he asking for victory against? Asking for victory against people. So for victory against people, David HaMelech is confident that Hashem will do it. When it comes for victory against the Yetzer Hara and against his own desire, so there, he takes a little bit lower attack. Shema Kali L'Shem Kali. Listen to my voice and crawl when I daven. When I daven my Shachros, Mincha, and Arvis. V'chaneni. And as a favor, aneni. Answer me, Hashem. Right? That's not so poshut, he says. It's still doing it, but you know what? That I'm not quite as confident in. And he will be right. Correct. Lecha amar libi, on your behalf my heart is said, Bakshi fun, I seek my presence, as panecha Hashem mavakesh. Your presence Hashem do I seek. On your behalf. So David HaMelech, he says, you know what? And what you've said in my heart. What he's saying is, you know what? I can't take any credit for this. The fact that all I want is to be close to Hashem, well, who made me that way? Hashem made me that way and put that desire in my heart. So lecha amar libi, it's really you, Hashem. I can't take any credit for that. I didn't do that. You made me that way. So the fact that you made me that way is really means I can't take any credit for it. Right? So Bakshu Fanai, right? Seek my presence. As Panecha Hashem Avakesh. And that's your presence Hashem do I seek. So seek my presence is either meaning seek the presence of Hashem, or like we said before, seek the presence of David HaMelech so that he can turn people to Hashem. Now, in this pasuk and in the next pasuk, Panai will be mentioned three times. Once in this pasuk and twice in the next two pasukim. Thank you. The Vilna Gaon says that's a remez. Avakshu, seek my presence. When do we seek the presence? At the Shalosh Regalim. Right? Sukkos and... Yes, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Shalosh Regalim. So David HaMelech is alluding to seek my presence, seek the presence of Hashem, when and where, in the base of Mikdash I long to build, on the Shalosh Regalim. I hadn't even thought of that. The three base of Mikdashes. Thank you. Thanks for coming. It's fair. Al Tazter Panachal Mimeni. I used to have a Rebbe that when he said a shir, and if you ask a good question, he told me, thanks for coming. That was his recognition that you asked a good question, I think. Al Tazter Panecha Mimeni, don't conceal your presence from me, says David HaMelech. Al Tat Be'af of Decha, don't repel in anger your servant, as Rasi Ayisa, you've been my helper. Al Ticheni Ve'al Tizveni, don't abandon and forsake me. Elokei Yishai, the God of my salvation. David HaMelech saying a whole bunch of stuff here. Don't conceal your presence from me. And don't repel away from your servant in anger. There are two ways that Hashem conceals his relationship with the person and hides from a person. The first is that he withdraws his presence so that you feel less of Hashem's presence. The second way is that Hashem actually is angry with you and gives you some sort of a punishment. There are two ways, and both ways appear to be a concealment, thank you, of Hashem's presence. Either there's a lack of his presence, or we feel like Hashem's presence is not there because of the severe punishment we're getting. So David HaMelech is saying, you know what, don't conceal your presence from me, and don't conceal your presence by anger either, because you've always been my helper. What does it mean, you've always been my helper? Hashem's everybody's helper. So David HaMelech is saying, you know, not only have you helped me with all of my physical accomplishments, but you've helped me grow in Ruchnias with all of my spiritual accomplishments as well. So in the past, you've been my helper. Alti Cheni Ve'alti Zveni. Don't forsake me. Don't just give me the success against my enemies that I know you'll give me, but also help me achieve more in becoming closer to Hashem. So David HaMelech is pushing again that he wants not only the physical salvation, but he wants to come closer to Hashem. Right? And we talked last week about how this constant desire will lead him slightly astray into the Maisa with Bathsheba. But this constant desire of David HaMelech to come closer to Hashem. And he wants so much to be Zaycha to build the Beis HaMikdash. But he knows that he can't come closer to Hashem without Hashem's help. So the fact that Hashem will not allow the enemies to defeat him, he's completely confident of. And he hopes, and he's davening that he has the schus for Hashem's help in Ruchnias also. My mother and father have forsaken me, Hashem yaspeini, and Hashem will gather me in. So he's saying, once a person is mature and grown, your mother and father don't really provide the same kind of nurturing and assistance as they did when you were little. And I want you to someone ask a very interesting question. If you look in the animal kingdom, it doesn't take very long for animals, the kids, to grow up. Even something like an elephant, a humongous animal by our standards, you have a baby elephant, a year later you have a fully grown elephantess. Right? So you have a little baby elephant, it doesn't take long. They teach them a few basic skills and boom, they're out in the world. Anybody who's had kids will tell you that it takes darn close to forever to raise your kids. Right? But joking aside, it takes, you know, the kids not bar mitzvah until they're 13, bar mitzvah until they're 12, and the Chazal tell us they don't really have seichel to make their own wise decisions till they're 20. 20 years? My gosh, an elephant, a 3-ton elephant can be reared in a year. Right? Why does it take 20 years to raise a kid? So it is, yes, Bidei Shemayim, so there was a bar mitzvah or a bas mitzvah individual is chayiv Beis Din, right? They can be taken to Beis Din as an adult, but they're not chayiv Bidei Shemayim until they're 20. So for those things that is only a punishment, Bidei Shemayim, they're still considered as children until they're 20. Because at that point, their intellect and their self is really fully mature, or as fully mature as it needs to be in order. So if a person, if a 15-year-old does a punishment for which Beis Din has no authority, but the only punishment, the only cheshbon comes Bidei Shemayim, right? So that person is not necessarily chayiv for that. And can't. That's a long subject, and it's a very interesting subject. But back to our friend the elephant. But why it takes so long to raise children? Do you know why? Because it takes a long time to give over a Messiah and to train a person and to nurture them and to build the trust relationship that allows us to give over a Messiah that you have to give over to a person. We're not just teaching our kids, here's a bottle, hold it yourself. So the baby elephant can hold its own bottle, see you around. And so because of that, parents spend years and years and years nurturing their children. And then at some point, they're done. There's still some nurturing, but now the child is off on his own. So David HaMelech says, you know what? It's my father and mother, they're forsaking me now. Now Hashem is my father and mother and gathers me. Horeini Hashem darkecha, teach me Hashem your way. Uncheini bi'orach mishor l'man shorarai. And lead me on the path of integrity because of my watchful foes. So the path of integrity, you know, I would like to suggest that Be'orech Mishor, that the path of integrity could also be translated as a straight path, like Yashar. And you go there to Israel, and you ask someone, where is the thing? Yashar, you know, and you can never find a place the rest of your life. All right? You know, it's a little farther down the road. I don't know, where it's Israel, we would ask people, you know, how far much, oh, we're going to walk there. Can't be that far. No, don't need to take a bus. You can walk. How far? Yashar. 3 hours later, we're still walking up and down, and we haven't found a place. Right? So Yashar, the straight path. So David HaMelech is making a keen observation. You know, there's a lot of ways, a lot of paths a person can take to serve Hashem, and to get to serve Hashem. It could be a circuitous route. It could be a zigzag route. He says, you know what? My enemies are watching. Make the biggest Kiddush Hashem possible, It has to be a straight path to serve Hashem. From here to there, no zigzags, no circuitous routes, no going through this and going through that. Just take me from here to there, Yashar. Give me the Arech Mishor, the straight path, Laman Shorai, because everybody's watching. It will make a tremendous Kiddush Hashem to give me a straight path, and that'll show my enemies and make the Kiddush Hashem. Al Titneini, don't deliver B'Nofesh Sorai to the wishes of my enemies, tormentors. Hikambu V'Ede Sheker, for there have arisen against me false witnesses, V'Feya Chamas, and those who breathe violence. False witnesses. Goodness gracious, how many times did people talk about David HaMelech? And they were always, David HaMelech, you read in the entire, we've talked many times that Lashon Hara against David HaMelech was almost like a pastime. Right? The thing with Bathsheba, and this, and that, and Avshalom, and you know this, and Amdaram, and people say Lashon Hara against him. So David HaMelech was not afraid that the people saying Lashon Hara against him, what he was afraid of, is that why is Hashem letting people say Lashon Hara against me? Perhaps I've done other things wrong that I'm not aware of. So David HaMelech is saying, as far as I know, I'm doing everything correctly, but you know what? It worries me. Don't deliver me to the wishes of my tormentors. They say false witnesses, and he's afraid that even though he ignored his Lashon Hara, that he wasn't guilty of whatever it was the people were talking about, yet if people are saying Lashon Hara about him, and Hashem's allowing him, perhaps it could be he did something wrong. I once saw an interesting article that, there was a few years ago when there was some Maisa with, in Eretz Yisrael, with the guy who had killed Rabin or whatever, and he was supposedly an Orthodox fellow, and the papers were just mole with diatribes against Frum people. You'd have thought that we were like Satan himself. Right? So of course it's not true, so you don't listen. Right? It's shtus. But someone's article said, you know what, it's shtus, but Hashem is letting it be said about his people. So maybe we ought to stop for a moment and think, why is Hashem letting this be said about his people? So fine, what they're saying isn't true. Right? And what they're saying is obviously ridiculous and has no basis in truth or in fact. But yet Hashem is letting his people get a black eye. Why is Hashem letting his people get such a black eye? You know what? It must be that we need to do a chesed and nefesh and figure out why we're allowed to have such a black eye. So this particular author had his own theories about why that was, but we don't need to go into that. But the person, so David HaMelech is feeling the same way. You know what? The Lashon Hara is not true. But maybe he says in the next pasuk, "Lulei Hamanti Liros Betuv Hashem BeEretz Chayim." Had I not trusted, I would see the goodness of Hashem in the land of life. The land of life. What do you think that means? You know, it very well could be Olam Haba. There are actually three different interpretations. Some of Forshim say it refers to this world as opposed to Olam Haba. Some people say it refers to Olam Haba as opposed to this world. And some people say it refers to Eretz Yisrael. Right, Be'eretz Chaim, because he had to flee. Right, so he's saying, you know, I trusted that I would see the goodness of Hashem in the land of Eretz Yisrael. You know, that when I had to flee from Shaul, I trusted that I would come back and see the land once again. Or it could be that he trusted in Hashem that he would. It's either way you want to learn it. The point remains the same, that he had that trust in Hashem, that he would see the land of Eretz Yisrael again. After he had to flee from Shalabat, says Kaveh El Hashem, trust in Hashem, hope in Hashem, Chazak V'Yameitz Libecha, strengthen yourself, put courage in your heart, V'Kaveh El Hashem, and place your hope in Hashem. Right, Chazak means strengthen yourself. Well, you go out to the store and you say, "I'd like two doses of strength to go, please," and you always strengthen yourself. You know, it's like when someone is feeling sad, you tell them, "Stop feeling sad." Right, that usually works, right? I'm sure all the husbands in the world will attest that is an absolutely perfect thing to do. When your wife is feeling frustrated, say, "Well, just stop feeling frustrated." There you go. And we see how well that works. And vice versa. When the husband is saying, "Oh, it's a frustrating day today." "Well, don't feel frustrated, husband." "Oh, there, thanks. Solved all my problems." Doesn't work that way. All right? Chazak, strengthen yourself. means if you increase your service to Hashem will repay you by giving you chazak, will give you more courage. David HaMelech believed strongly that the more he tried to be an Eved Hashem, the more courage he got from Hashem. Chazak. And if you're chazak yourself, then v'yameitz libecha, then he'll put courage into your heart. So chazak yourself doesn't mean go ahead and tell yourself to have the courage you don't have. It means chazak, try and be more of an Eved Hashem. Try and be more involved in the mitzvahs that you're doing. And then what will happen? V'yameitz libecha. Hashem will put the courage into your heart. Not that you have to do it yourself. And David HaMelech is sounding so gewaldic. Havayel Hashem, this is what's going to happen. And the Baal Beam says, if you think about this for a minute, when people have to ask for help from somebody, are they ever really excited about it? If you have to ask for help from someone, usually you're not. And half the time it leads to disappointment. You don't get exactly what you needed. Well, no, people also like to help the way they like to help, not really the way you needed it done, and then you didn't really want to ask them in the first place, and you felt bad that you couldn't do it. And asking for help from people is in a good situation okay, and the worst situation can be a very disappointing and trying experience. However, David HaMelech is saying here with Hashem, it's the opposite. Asking for help from Hashem is the most geschmack thing you can do, he says. The most geschmack thing you can do is kaveil Hashem. Put your hope in Hashem. Chazak, strengthen yourself, and you know what will happen? V'yameitz libecha. He'll put courage in your heart. Right? The kaveil Hashem and hope in Hashem. David HaMelech wants to dance with joy because there's nothing more geschmack than asking Hashem for help. Oftentimes we feel like we have so many burdens. And it may not just be a feeling. We have a lot of burdens. Right? The parents and grandparents are want to tell me how their burdens were, of course, 500 times worse than our burdens today. So I pass that tradition on to my children and explain to them how tougher things were when we were kids. But everybody has burdens. Right? You don't want to ask people for help. But it's a geschmack to ask Hashem for help. So they're all saying, you know what, if it's not, then chazak, work on your avayda. Because it should be a geschmack to ask Hashem for help. David HaMelech is saying such a beautiful thing in this one. I saw a great story. I love this book from Rabbi Rubin with the stories in it here. And he has this great story about a safari tourist place in England where it's like part of the zoo and you can take like a train around and see all the safari animals and you're right up close to the animals. I think they have things like that in Florida as well, don't they?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Where and your mom is like, you could reach out and touch the animals. They're very, you're right in with the animals in this train ride. So they had a problem at this particular safari exhibit that the people in charge of the park kept getting, at all hours, cell phone calls on their emergency cell phone number, and then when they answered, the person would hang up. And this went on for quite a while. It was a true story. They couldn't figure out what was going on. They get called, oh, it's an emergency in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, who knows, the lions escaped, whatever, hello? Person would hang up. Turned out one of the chimpanzees had stolen a cell phone from one of the keepers. And he'd been hitting the redial button. And after he hit the redial button, he pressed all the other buttons. I didn't know what he was doing. And of course, who was in the guy's phone number book? But all the other emergency people at the park. It's a true story. And these people would get it until they found out what happened. Alright, one guy lost my cell phone. Oh, they figured out that this chimpanzee, they found the chimpanzee with the cell phone making calls. Right? He's calling everybody. He has nothing to say when the guy answers, so he hangs up. I mean, what is the chimpanzee going to say? Hi, this is the chimp with your cell phone. Doesn't know what to say, so this is pretty fun. And sometimes, so first it was just redial. One guy kept getting called, and then, he's got on, speed dial or whatever, everybody's phone number in the safari, so he's calling and he's calling. Right? It's just so, and he says, you know what? He says, in our society, with the way we run around, the tumults and burdens we have, sometimes we wonder if when we make a call, we haven't gotten the local zoo. Right? That we feel like we're in the local zoo sometimes on a treadmill that we can't get off. But on a more serious note, are we like the chimp? Chimp pushes buttons very well. So we push the button that says daven now, the button that says do a mitzvah now, the button that says tilch nasas arachim now, the button that says think about Hashem now. Everybody davens every day. Are we davening like the chimp, he says? Or we press the button, and then somebody answers and we hang up? right? Or do we daven like a person? How do we use our cell phones? Right? And he said that it's interesting. People, everybody feels that they have needs for something. And sometimes we try and assuage those needs with material goods. You know, kids are famous for always asking for things. They want to have the clothes their friends have. They want to have the toys their friends have. They want to have, you know, this kid has a scooter and this kid has a whatever, so we need that. Right? So people they feel a need for something. We often say, why is it that, you know, 200 years ago, kids didn't run around asking for expensive toys? So usually, you know what, didn't have such expensive toys 200 years ago. Yeah, but you know what else they didn't have? They didn't have a materialistic world 200 years ago. Where when a person has a need for something, they automatically think, you know what? I need to get something to fulfill that need. So, this is, you know what? You have to press stop, and you have to make a chesed and nefesh. You have to make a chesed and nefesh about your own neshama and what you're really doing to become clear. Certainly a very dangerous undertaking. Before he sent out his men out to war, this is the kapitel he wanted them to read. This is the kapitel he wanted them to sing before they went out to war. Because he wanted to make sure that when they felt the need to call somebody on their cell phone, they weren't calling the Toys R Us, and they weren't calling the Mercedes-Benz dealership, and they weren't just pressing the speed dial button like the chimp and going through various routines without really, really thinking about what they're doing. He wanted them to stop and make a chesed and nefesh and then dial the right number on the cell phone. And that's why we say this in the Yimei Tshuva of Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot, because this kapitel is telling us, stop. Check who's on your speed dial. Check who you call when you need your needs satisfied, and make sure that you're dialing the right number. Questions?